me a little bit about the project. What really was the generation of it?
Well, it was a group out of Vancouver called the De Klerk family, who had some property in St. Albert. And they came to me and asked me about a particular issue they had on the property, and then it evolved into them wanting to do something unique and different in the real estate development side, and something that led them into some other investment opportunities, and we evolved that into a clean technology opportunity as well.
Now, you have developed over the years quite a reputation for some of the work that you've done, especially as it relates to, I guess, environment-friendly stuff. Tell me a little bit about what you've done in the past.
Well, if you remember back in the 80s, there was an issue started to come up within the oil industry, the oil and gas industry, with regards to all of their environmental operating guidelines, which at that time they had none. And I was fortunate enough to get hired by Canadian Petroleum Institute to develop all the environmental guidelines for them. And I think we wrote a 600-page manual at that point, which then evolved into a number of other opportunities that came from that with regards to other industrial applications, and certainly with regards to some of the residential work that we did, and more into the preservation of ecological corridors and so forth. But my biggest work was in the oil and gas industry.
And didn't you also sit on the round table for environment and economy?
I sure did, and those are great years. We had some very interesting discussions, and probably it was the one time in my life I finally figured out what the word sustainable meant, which I think to a lot of people is very difficult. Sometimes it's a word that gets misused, but the point being is that it was a good time frame when Alberta, again, was struggling with trying to figure out how they kept their environment and their economic development working in parallel. And I think we all recognize that the sustainability side of dealing with anything was that you had to continuously improve. And continuous improvement was the key in making a better world than what we were born into. So from that, again, I think I've tried to apply that in everything we do today and all the work we do today.
Well, in a sense, it's almost like we're going through a reawakening or a renaissance.
That's right. And that's funny you just say that. I think that we always seem to go through some reawakening when there's a crisis. And typically it's a crisis around oil pricing. I think there's a new crisis that's occurred, though. And there's actually probably two new crises that have occurred. One can make the argument on climate change and what the impact of climate change is, and there's back and forth conversations on that. But the other major change that's going on in the world today is developing countries. You take the Brazil and the Indias and the Chinas. That impact on us is going to be tremendous. And as a result of that, we just see the world changing density-wise to space-wise to use of resource efficiency-wise, and there's a huge market opportunity. And that's really what Avenir is all about. It's trying to some degree, take advantage of that potential opportunity.
What is the investment strategy like?
Well, that's one of the unique aspects of Avenir and something that we're quite excited about. If you look at typical clean tech technology investment schemes, what they'll end up doing, or the venture capital, they'll end up invest into the technology itself. And then what they will want is rights to the intellectual property, the IP. Avenir is not going to be any different in that regard. It's going to invest in technology as well. But one of the difficulties venture capitalists have is that when they invest in the technology, they want the technology to have an excellent management team. Because if they're going to get that technology up into the marketplace, they need a strong management team. So you can get great technologies with lousy management teams, and the venture capitalists will never touch them. Avenir has taken a different approach. Avenir, as I said, will invest in the technology, but it's also going to invest in local management teams who are essentially going to bring that technology up into their operations. And so what that gives us is local people with local expertise, and that we can grow those companies organically right here in the capital region. And by doing so, they will then gain a further expertise in a particular sector of the clean technology area. And from that, we see them not only becoming technology providers, but then they'll find better ways of administering the technology, using the technology, applying the technology. And then they actually become technology owners. So they went from a regional type of company to something that becomes globally because of the fact that they actually own the technology itself. So that's a totally different approach than most venture capitals would deal with in that investment sector. The other aspect I want to reemphasize is that Avenir is not investing in a broad spectrum of clean technologies. It's investing in five distinct sectors. One of them, the first sector, is energy and energy efficiency. The second one is water recovery and reuse. The third one is advanced building materials. The fourth would be local food production. And the fifth is energy infrastructure for private vehicles. So there's a common theme throughout all of those sectors of dealing with the community. So we're not dealing with industry, pulp and paper mills, or oil sands, or anything of that nature. It's all dealt with the community side.
Well, let's look at those five areas. When you're looking at the energy and the energy infrastructure, what are you doing that's different?
Well, from a standpoint of energy and energy infrastructure, again, one of the things that we, on the whole strategy of selecting particular projects to invest in, as you know, we're involved with one of our project partners is a group called MARS. And MARS is actually the incubator group for clean technology at the University of Toronto. And one of the benefits they bring to the table is they will have this broad spectrum, looking 10,000 meters down at all these business opportunities that they're seeing coming into their incubator in the clean technology sector. And so what we expect them to do is give us some very good business opportunities that we can invest in. So in the case of the energy sector, one of the ones I like and has been brought forward is one where we take sanitary sewers. And we all know sanitary sewers, what they're used for. But interesting enough, obviously, there's a lot of heat within sanitary sewers, just from body heat itself. And if we could capture some of that heat, it's amazing what we could probably do with it from an energy standpoint. So there are a number of coatings that are being developed right now. I think there are about three companies that are developing coatings that you can actually put inside the sanitary sewer and change that sanitary sewer, not just being a sanitary sewer, but also being a heat exchanger or a district heating system. Now, that's going to have a tremendous impact on the energy application into a particular community. If you can imagine now that instead of the sanitary sewer being just being a regular old sewer, that's probably in some condition problems because it's old and needs to be repaired. That coating does the repair, so that's one benefit. But the second thing, it changes it into a district heating system, and that will have a huge, significant benefit to that community.
And will you also be encouraging technologies like solar energy?
Yeah, and let's face it, solar energy has been around now for a fair bit of time, and there's a number of technologies out in the marketplace. I think to be fair, yes, we would be certainly encouraging looking at business opportunities with solar energy. But one of the aspects we want to do is not get ourselves tied into just the technology on its own. We're interested in the business opportunity. And I say that in this regard, is that if we're going to look at solar energy, we want to make sure that the solar energy technology that we're using makes business sense. In other words, we'll make money. And that's how we remain sustainable. The business has to make money.
How about water and water recovery?
Yeah, water recovery, that's probably one of my major areas of interest and, I guess, expertise. I think there's a number of areas of application in water recovery. I think there's a classic gray water reuse that we see when we can reuse water within homes or industrial purposes for toilet water and so forth. But I think there's some much greater applications for water reuse. One of the clear areas, obviously, is irrigation purposes within communities. But certainly in the area of cooling water systems, certainly on industrial applications, there's a tremendous opportunity in using water reuse in those applications. So, as you know, Avenir is not just a residential development. It also has an industrial component to it. And we see certainly the need for cooling water systems in chillers and so forth that we can reuse water. And that, again, that comes down to what's the business opportunity, but we certainly see that as a significant opportunity that we'd like to pursue at Avenir.
Now, every house or building that goes up, you have to either paint it, put stucco on, or something else. You're looking at the areas of advanced building materials. What are you looking at there?
Well, one of the popular ones here in the capital region is the use of hemp insulation. And that's something that's come before us. Again, I'm not going to go off and tell you that I'm fully familiar with that one. But I certainly, again, I think that's a classic situation where hemp being grown in local agricultural lands and then being used as an insulation material would be a classic business opportunity. The other ones that come to mind very quickly are new window structures and glass structures. And the ability of getting so much higher R factors on glass structures. And certainly, and we get into just some general paint coatings and coatings that go on walls. You know, there's some tremendous abilities now to paint on solar panels, paint on walls that change colors that give you a huge insulation factor as well. So there's some great decorative and insulation type coatings that are coming up. So those type of, again, business opportunities are the type of thing that we would be looking at.
And I would see this as being an opportunity as well that would help advance your relationship with the Nanotechnology Institute, for example.
Yeah, absolutely. And as I mentioned to you before, we talked about Mars a bit as far as what their role is in this project and looking at the business opportunities and identifying them. But the breakthrough, we all want breakthroughs. Everybody in this business wants a breakthrough. NINT and National Institute for Nanotechnology is where we see breakthrough occurring. And I say that in this regard, is that one of the key areas for breakthrough in the clean technology sector is advanced material science. National Institute for Nanotechnology, or nanotechnology itself, and certainly the University of Alberta and its abilities in the advanced material science area is a tremendous opportunity for us to find those breakthroughs. So we see we'll get a business opportunity, we'll get a technology, we'll gain the expertise in it, and boy, now we got an opportunity to make it even better, much, much better by using those two agencies.
One of the other things that is the big bugaboo for all sort of developments is where do you put the roads? How are people going to move around? And certainly with your community, you have some different ideas about that. Tell me what some of them are.
Well, you know, one of the benefits of St. Albert is that they've looked extensively at what we call smart growth concepts. And it's the live, work, play type of concepts that they have certainly analyzed and to their benefit and to our benefit, they've identified all of the issues that occur with snow plowing and public works and with the roads and so forth. What we see essentially using a lot of what they've already done in some of their assessments and studies that they've been working on for the last couple of years now. But basically, it's a grid road system. It gives you interconnection within the community. You get into a defined open space area that you try to keep within 200 to 400 meters of any resident. And you obviously make all commercial facilities within walking distance so that people are spending their time walking or riding a bike as opposed to driving a car. Now, there's also realities. It does get cold. And so we have to make sure that there is access using your vehicle. This is not going to be a community where vehicles aren't going to be permitted. So we certainly want to be clear on that.
Well, I like the idea of skating down the pond.
Yeah, and that one I get excited about as well. You know, one of the things that we've looked at here is a trail system in general. I think there's going to be over 10 kilometers of trails. But some of those trails are actually going to be skating trails. And the neat part about skating trails, of course, is that they give you an opportunity to use the trail well in the wintertime. And so if you can think about it, obviously winter community, and being able to skate down to the commercial area and have a coffee, and I guess you probably put the skate guards on and take them off again and skate a little further and maybe look at a shop or so and then go home. I think that's a neat concept. And one of the aspects we're going to do with a skating trail, just to, again, create the communication of the fact that this is a clean technology community, is that the water that would be used in the skating trails would be a reused water. And that's an obviously typical application we could use. Not a lot of water, but certainly gives the aspect of conversation around the fact that we are reusing water.
Local food production, now that is a really big thing growing within the environmental movement, but also has reached out now into the general public. What are you doing about that?
Well, you know, first of all, one of the clear benefits of St. Albert, again, is that they have one of the largest market gardening groups in Canada, for that matter, Holes. But and also they're building a phenomenal facility in St. Albert, which we're certainly proud to be located not too far from them. But obviously one of the key aspects of local food production is the ability of your community being actually a producer of the food itself. And Alberta, interesting enough, is a leader in that area. In fact, a fellow by the name of Dr. Nick Savadoff out of Brooks, Alberta, is becoming one of the world experts in using a technology called aquaponics. And so we see local food production using some of the technologies that he's developing as being a key aspect of some of the business opportunities, again, that we would be looking at Avenir.
Where this community is being built, it's on a fairly large area that was once a dairy farm. But you do have environmental concerns because there's a stream going through there, there's Big Lake not too far away, and you also have some other aspects that you have to deal with from an environmental kind of habitat point of view. What are some of the considerations that you're looking at as you develop the community?
Yeah, and that's a great question. I was going to extend that a little further. It's not just the environmental side, it's the recreational side as well. Because in that area, as you mentioned, Big Lake, but there's also the Lois Hole Provincial Park. There's also the Red Willow Trail system. And what we've done is said, look, this is a very important asset to the community and to the overall community, the overall region. On the Carrot Creek side, Carrot Creek is a major eco-corridor. And the typical setback that is used for environmental reserves on such a corridor would be about 6 meters from top of bank. We're going to go 50 meters, 50. That's a significant increase over the norm, as I've already stated. But the other aspect of that, one of the reasons, is that we want to put some trails down the edge of that corridor to allow the connection into the Big Lake and the Lois Hole Provincial Park and the Red Willow Trail system. The other aspect is that the area has two landfills that were in operation at one time. One landfill was in operation for a number of years and is covered and obviously not in operation any further. The second landfill actually was an old gravel pit, borrow pit, that got used maybe for about 2 months. So it wasn't used very long at all. We've done extensive testing on that second one and basically a very benign area. But the fact it's a borrow pit and an old gravel pit gives us an opportunity to make it into a water feature. So what we're going to do is use it as an open hole in the ground that's going to become a stormwater management lake. And I like to call it a lake because it's a fairly large area. And it obviously gives us a great water landscape asset to it, but also from the standpoint of creating some wetland potential for it as well. And so now what do you do with that? Well, around that, now you can create some very good land use capabilities, certainly with some higher density residential that can get some good some wonderful use of it, also some good commercial and some good industrial use around the northern side of it, which gives it now that business park market, transportation-oriented district type of development that we can put around that lake, and it becomes a signature to the overall development.
What are the challenges for you now in order to move this project forward?
The first challenge is going through the City of St. Albert and getting the planning approvals in place. And we're moving well in that direction. I think we've been able to undertake a number of studies and show people that this is a very good opportunity and it works well within the policies and the directions that St. Albert wants to go, and that works well for the future of St. Albert. I think it works well for the Capital Region. It works well for the future of the Capital Region as well. So that's the first hurdle, is to get past the planning side. And then after that, we have to obviously bring together the first phase. And the first phase has got three components to it, as does every phase after that. We have obviously a community development component in that first phase, which will be managed by Melcor. The other major component is, what are those business opportunities that we're going to get involved with in that first phase, the clean technology business opportunities. So we have to get our project team together to start to define what those business opportunities are going to be. And then we get into how much they're going to cost. What's the investment going to be into those business opportunities? And that's the third component, is the venture capital. investment components in that first phase. And that will start to create the whole programming that starts to occur in every subsequent phase.
How many people do you see living and working in this area?
It'll be in the order of about 10,000 people.
And now, say I wanted to buy a house there and move. How long would that take?
Well, we're hopefully in the ground in 2011. And I would, you know, to be honest with you, we're probably talking that first phase of being certainly another 1 to 2 years after that. So you're looking at late 2012, 2013.
As you move forward and start developing this project, are you going to be doing the industrial and the residential at the same time, or are you doing those separately? Are you staging them separately?
No, again, very good question. They are going to be done at the same time. And let me maybe explain that. The first phase of the project, as I mentioned, is located around what I'm going to call the stormwater management lake, or the old borrow pit. And to service that area, we have to come from an existing development called Northridge, which is on the east side of our project. And the connection to all the services, the water and the sanitary, would be from that location. And it will come basically east-west across the property to Carrot Creek. The residential would be basically adjacent to Carrot Creek. But on the north and the west side of that lake area is where we're going to have the industrial. So as a result of bringing that servicing across from North Ridge to the Carrot Creek area, we will actually be servicing also the industrial component and the commercial component as well. And so that first phase will include all three components, actually, residential, industrial, and commercial.
This must be like a dream come true for you.
Yeah, and Cheryl, I appreciate you even asking that question. As you know, I've been around a bit, and I don't consider my career to last forever. I look at this project as a signature project for myself, and it is a project that you rarely get this type of opportunity, that you can hopefully put your name to something that's going to make a difference to the future. Hence the name Avenir, which means future. And I'm certainly couldn't be more excited about what I'm doing today.
Thank you very much, David.
Thank you.